You're listening to The Dan Nichols Show.
Over the many years of The Dan Nichols Show, I've been lucky enough to catch up with and on occasion eat with some incredible chefs. Usually it is in their restaurants, occasionally it's been in their home. This, though, is the first time I think I've done both, because Chef Pam Sonjanetic is not just one of the world's great chefs, but very kindly, she's welcomed me into an acclaimed and award-winning restaurant that's got a very, very strong family history. She also happens to be the reigning World's 50 Best Female Chef of the Year, so I'm slightly intimidated to be here with her, and her restaurant has got fans right around the world. Pam, it's so exciting to be in Bangkok. It's really exciting to be here, not just because it's such an incredible restaurant, but also because this has got a really rich family history.
Yes, so welcome to my home.
Thank you.
As we sit here, we're on the fifth floor. Actually, this building used to be a family living space and also a pharmacy as well. So, I mean, I'm so thankful that my ancestor built this building to last this long and to be able to kind of like revive it and carry on his legacy.
There is a real sense of history to this area. I got to know a little more than planned because I got lost several times trying to find the place, but very happily so, because there was charm and a sense of heritage. Tell me a bit more about this part of Bangkok.
Yeah, so right now we're in the middle of Chinatown. We called Song Wat and Yawarat. And this area, part of Bangkok, is the old town. And you can see there's not a lot of tall buildings. The tallest is like 8 stories. And if you look up in each of the buildings, it has a lot of history. It has a lot of architecture that is not modern at all. And it's next to the river. So actually, Bangkok civilization, I mean, around the world, start next to the river. And this is where Bangkok starts. And it grows to, you know, the Sukhumvit area, Sathon area. But here we have, I think this part of Bangkok is very charming because there's so many history. And I think nowadays, the new generations appreciate that and started to do, you know, new concepts, but respecting the whole old heritage.
The fact that we're in Chinatown and this building from your family goes back so far suggests there might be some Chinese heritage to your own story?
Yes, definitely. So what we do here, we serve Thai Chinese cuisine. Even though I train very Western French cuisine, but when I come back home to my hometown, I really want my food to represent who I am and my root. So the area itself and the people and my heritage really really makes me what I want to do at Po Tong.
The mix of cultures in food is always so exciting.
Yes.
And so many of the great chefs have had a very diverse background in terms of their learning. You've touched on France. There was also time in America as well. How did all of that help to form the chef you are today?
I think, you know, everywhere that I trained, every chef that I worked for really shaped who I am. I think it helps me to appreciate things. I think it helped me to understand food in different lens and to adapt into my own style. And I think without having to learn all these cuisines around the world, I wouldn't be here today.
The restaurants included Jean Georges, if memory serves. That's an iconic New York institution. Was it quite intimidating stepping in the door there for the first time?
Very, very. I mean, it's to be able to be there accepted as a star was something, a dream come true for me. And to learn that he really loved Thai ingredients and Thai food. How he cooks the French dishes really really touch my, like really capture my moments, because at that time as a culinary student, I didn't know that, you know, French food does not only have to be butter and more butter. It can be something light, something refreshing, and sometimes can be something also spicy as well. So he kind of like teach me to look at food in different ways and to try different things also.
One of the great advantages New York has is all of these chefs from all over the world and from so many diverse backgrounds.
Yes.
Was there a time where the student became a teacher and you started being able to give some Thai influence and some of your thoughts and influences onto this great restaurant?
I mean, I don't think I was like teaching them anything, but I remember I cooked staff meal for them because they love Thai food so much.
Those must have been the best staff meals in New York.
I hope. But I know. I mean, I just cook like very simple dish, Thai dishes, and they really loved it. So
I have yes. no doubt. There's clearly a love of food and a passion for it. Was that always the vision? I remember chatting to a good friend of yours, your colleague Tan, who was a banker. He was a terrible banker, but a wonderful chef, and thankfully he shifted. Were you always planning to be a cook, or were there other ideas when you were younger?
No, actually, my path is very similar to Chef Tan. My college, I studied communication arts. And during my second year in Thailand, we have 4 years. So during my second year, I feel like I didn't like what I was doing. I enjoy like my friends and I enjoy the time there, but I kind of feel that if I have to do this for the rest of my life, it's not what I'm looking for. So I kind of stop and then think back what I really want to do and what I love to do, and it comes to cooking. So cooking is not like a eureka moment where I feel like, oh, I want to be a chef. But it's always, you know, built on with what my mom used to cook for me, and I help her in the kitchen, and I love to eat, I love to cook for people. It kind of like builds up in me. And when I realize that cooking can become like a career, that's when I feel like, okay, I really want to do this seriously.
The career that you decided to choose on took you to America, took you to France, but then it brought you home. You could have stayed on. You were doing so well in America. You'd become quite a big star in the New York culinary scene. And yet you decided, no, I need to come home. Why was that?
I mean, New York at that time was a home for me. But at the end of the day, you know, in my culture, we are very close with our family. So I always want to come back to Thailand. And I think it's the best decision because I think Thai food and Thai ingredients and Thai produce, there's a lot of things that as a chef we have responsibility somehow to help and somehow make them shine. And back in the days when if you talk about people who want to spend money and celebrate something in Bangkok, they would go to a French restaurant or Italian or Japanese. But now that, you know, Thai people are willing to pay for to celebrate in a Thai restaurant, it really gives the confidence of young chefs to really cook their own cuisine and their heritage cuisine. And I think you need, to come back and be part of that, to see the change, is something very amazing for me.
It's been quite a revolution in terms of food and fine dining. If I think back to when I first came to Bangkok, that's a decade ago before that, certainly when you left to go and cook abroad, the thought of one restaurant from Bangkok in the world's 50 best would have been unheard of, let alone half a dozen. And you've been a big part of that change.
I don't know, but, you know, I mean, I hope I'm part of that change. And, you know, everywhere I go, I can tell that people are genuinely love Thai food. And Thailand has become one of the top food destination, and I'm so proud and I'm so happy, and everywhere I go I want to cook Thai food and, you know, let the people know the Thai taste.
You also get to do it in this place that is so special to you. This was a pharmacy, if we go back in your family story. So much like your ancestors who were pharmacists, you're producing stuff that makes people feel better, but yours is through amazing food.
Yes.
How did this particular opportunity come up to come back to this family home, this old family pharmacy, and turn it into a fine restaurant?
I think things that happen in my life many things happen because of luck as well and because of timing. So I never lived in this building. It was rented out for over 60 years. And in 2019, the tenant left just before COVID. My grandfather and my parents took me to this building and kind of like walked me up the stairs and tell the stories that, okay, this is used to be a bedroom and all that. And then I walk up to this point. Actually, this is the rooftop. And I talked to my husband, we turned around and we were like, this has to be the place where our dream restaurant is.
Because so you were looking for a restaurant at that time, looking for a venue?
Not really, actually, but I think the place calls, you know. It's not like we're looking for a location, but when we see the place, we feel like this has to be it. And we have to do it now because we have still have the energy, you know, because at that time we were planning to have a baby as well. So we decided to do it because it's the place called our name, and we want to do it. And I think this is very personal. Not every chef has a building that is so personal to them, and it's like a home. And we feel, you know, at that time, restaurant doesn't have to be in a luxury area anymore. This is more like a journey to come to this, you know, building. And it's part of the charm, part of the fun as well.
It's a particularly a journey. If, like me, you get lost on the way,
yes, but that yes. is part of the that journey. That is branded, by the way.
You did it very, very well. Just sweeping up through the stairs and having a look at the different levels, it's clearly so full of history and so full of charm. And I'd imagine that's quite an essential part to what you're doing, because you are playing through your own culinary heritage, and the setting just supports that so beautifully.
Yes, I'm very fortunate that as I said, my ancestor built a building that is so strong to last for a decade. And, you know, to be able to cook here in a building that, you know, my bloodline used to stay here, it feels like goosebumps for me. And to be able to welcome people from around the world to this very small building here, it just feels unreal for me.
I'm not just impressed by the success that you've had in creating this restaurant and the wonderful story behind it, but to launch a new restaurant at the same time as becoming a mother is somewhere between brave and foolhardy, because both of those require an enormous amount of time.
Enormous.
How difficult was that juggle?
It was very difficult. I almost gave up, to be honest. It was the time that I feel I don't want to be a chef anymore. It's the only time I feel I want. It's burnout, and it's also emotional. But at that time, I know that it was temporarily because of, you know, pregnancy and hormone and everything. So I kind of like, okay, just keep doing it. And it is. I mean, things, you know, pass because you don't give up. And I'm so thankful to myself that I didn't give up, because, you know, I think my daughter would be very proud of this house.
And she will have this wonderful playground, and you'll be able to talk her through the family history as
yes.
she grows older and maybe becomes another version of Chef Pam.
Yes, I hope she loves to cook, but, you know, no pressure.
The impact that you've had, the success that you've had, has come with many accolades. One of them, one of the more recent, World's Best Female Chef. That was at the World's 50 Best last year. What did that mean to you?
First of all, I didn't believe it. It was it's chalk to hold that title. It's very big, and sometimes I feel I'm not worthy of it. And I'm sure I'm not the best female chef in the world. It cannot be possible. You cannot name someone to be like that. But as time goes by, you know, a lot of female chefs apply for the job, and then a lot of people, you know, text me without knowing me that I'm an inspiration for her. And I feel like this award is not to award to you, to not award to me, but it gives me the urge to inspire younger generation, especially female. And now in our kitchen, we have more female, you know, 80% female in our kitchen. And I think that's what this award is.
When I look back in South Africa, we are seeing more top female chefs. We're seeing more top female winemakers. We're seeing the broader food and wine industry shift, maybe not as quickly as it could, but there is visible change. How much change is there in Bangkok, in Thailand? How much change still needs to happen?
I think many people tell me that Thailand they can see that Thailand has the most, you know, female chefs if they compare to other parts of the country in the world. And I think, you know, as a whole, Thailand is very open to female chefs and to female, to promote female. And I think Thailand is in a better situation if compared to what you were saying. And I think that is because we live as a culture, we live in a big family, and with that, when we have, like, you know, baby or daughter and son, we have someone to help us, support us at the back. So it means that we have more time, and we are able to pursue our own dreams. And I think that's what makes Thailand so special. And that's why there's a lot of Thai female chefs, female sommelier, female manager, you know, that they can carry on their career.
I think you're inspiring a lot of people beyond just Thailand now with this award. So congratulations on it. It's not an award, though, that would have come if you weren't an outstanding chef, irrespective of gender. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what you are. Tell me about the food. I'm going to be dining here this evening and probably falling out the front door because the menu looks vast and wonderful. Yes. What can I expect from the cuisine of Koh Tong?
I think, so what we do is we have this five senses and five elements philosophy. Five elements are salt, acid, spice, maillard reaction, and texture.
So give me the penultimate one there.
Texture.
The maillard.
Maillard reaction.
What is that?
If to explain easily to understand, it's like caramelized of things, you know. So a boiled steak and a grilled steak would taste differently. So the maillard reaction is the grilled steak. Yes. So this philosophy, you will see that in the food. And also, I really believe that, you know, food can happen in a spiritual sense because food is the most simplest form of happiness that you can give to a stranger. And I believe that what our mission and what we're aimed to achieve is to create memories with the guests. Because food is great everywhere around the world. Like you walk, you know, 5 minutes from here, you can find great food there too. So what we want to do here is to capture all that memories in this house together. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's just happiness that we want the guests to feel. And some surprise.
As I walked in, I saw a lot of happiness leaving out the front door. So you're clearly having an effect. What are some of the particular dishes? If you had to put down two or three, these are the highlights. These are the rock star servings from Koh Tong. What would some of those be?
So our newest menu now that I'm very proud and it's one of my favorite now is the squid. It's a local squid that we lightly grilled and then marinated in a marination for a day and two, and then serve cold with some dressing made from its own ink sauce. So that one is something that people love it so much. Very refreshing, you know, cold dish, and something that you can play around with a little bit. And the other dish that I really love is Pad Thai. It's been on the menu about a year already. We took it out for a short time, but people ask for it, so we have to put it back. So it become part of the signature. You will see how we present our Pad Thai in totally different ways. And we love to play around with, you know, people's mind also, because we believe that when you create that question mark in the guest head, in the guest mind, and when you have the answer for them, it's something that brings emotions to the moment. And also our whole time signatures are 14 days dry aged duck, which means on the menu since day one until now. So
I'm salivating already. It's fine dining at its best, also lots of elements of Thai. And that's a regular theme in some of the top restaurants I've seen in Bangkok, where the roots have not been forgotten, but there is much being added to, new interpretations, new spins on. The change, the evolution of Thai cuisine from the street food that's often fiery and spicy and that many of us see around the world, finds a slightly different space in what chefs like yourself are doing.
Yes, yes. I mean, I think Thai food has been evolving and food has to evolve all the time. I mean, if you look at what Thai food is now, it's like curries, right? But if you talk back 100 years ago or more than 100 years ago, curry is something so modern for them because there's no coconut in Thailand. So, you know, I brought this topic up because I feel like food needs to evolve all the time, but evolve in a way that you respect the traditions, you understand it, you understand how and why, and then you take that and move forward.
You, as a result, have this terrific menu, and it awaits me this evening, but I'm always fascinated to know what chefs are eating when they are away from, and does that New York background have you craving the odd cheeseburger? Are you going home to spaghetti bolognese rather than a 9-course tasting menu at home on a Tuesday?
Bolognese sounds great for me, but then my husband, he loves to cook carbonara Sometimes like really easy instant noodle, and sometimes burgers and sandwiches as well. So something very easy, fatty, not good for you. That's what we're looking for at home.
I'm glad to hear it. Nice to know chefs are just like the rest of us. What about the rest of Bangkok and the Bangkok experience? If people are coming to visit, certainly Patong top of their list, but where else should they be going? What else should they be looking for to get the complete experience?
I think everywhere I go around the world, the first place that I would go is the market. Because in the market, you can see the ways of living of the people, local people, and you can really see what's grown in that region, because you can see the vegetables, the seafood, you know, the fruits. And I think it's the best way to start if you're traveling to Thailand the first time. Go to the markets. Any local markets is good. And then try all the street food as much as you can, because it's like one of the best things that Thailand has to offer are the street foods. Very vibrant, and you know, so many dishes that you can try in very affordable prices. And also, you know, go to the river. You know, Thailand has very nice river. Go to across the river with the temples, you know, go by boat. You know, sometimes you don't, Bangkok is very the traffic is really bad, so sometimes you need to go across the river. You can take the boat as well.
All right, my travel itinerary has just grown.
Yes.
I shall be exploring. How much exploring do you get to do? Because you've spent time in France, you've spent time in New York, but you now have this must-visit destination restaurant here. Do you get to go away much? Do you get to escape? Or
is, you mean in Bangkok?
Just generally, do you get to escape from Bangkok? Do you get to travel a bit of the world?
I travel a lot of because of work, not a lot because of holiday. But given that situation, we travel a lot, and I think it really helps me to understand more of what's happening around the world and appreciate the cultures. But I haven't been to South
America. This is terrible.
That's the only
Our friendship
what do you call,
was going
continent.
So well.
I know. Europe, I've been there, you know, everywhere except, you know, South Africa.
Right. Well, you're going to have to come, because
yes.
As well as the safari, which I know you're interested
yes.
in, there is an incredible food culture, the Cape in particular.
I'm sure.
And I think you'd absolutely love it. In
yes.
fact, we had one of your fellow Bangkok chefs, Gagan,
Chef
was
Gagan,
not long ago, and I think he had a pretty good time. Of course, it is difficult to go on holiday in the midst of the success and everything you're doing, and a young family, and trying to balance it all up, and possibly balancing a little of ambition, because you've done so well here. Is this restaurant where the story ends, or do you see more chapters unveiling?
In terms of Patong, there's going to be only one Patong in this world, full stop. I'm not expanding this. It's just, you know, as Patong, we're going to grow in our own ways, but it's going to be only in Thailand. But, you know, you can hope to see, I hope to open other casual restaurants around the world. And opening restaurants is, it doesn't mean I have to be there, because opening restaurants is for my team to grow, because some of my team stay with me almost 10 years, and there's like, you know, a ceiling for that. And I think to be able to open restaurants and kind of like let them have their own team, is very important for them as well to grow as a chef. Yeah.
Possibly a pop-up in Johannesburg, maybe. Down the road from me. That would be
yes.
very welcome. I'll find the space
and
let
you
know.
Maybe you can arrange something for me.
With absolute pleasure. I think it's a very exciting time for food in Bangkok, and very exciting for those of us to get to come and visit it and to explore it. Clearly some more to come. If you look back, though, over this journey, and there's been so much to it already in a relatively short time, what is, from everything you've done, all the experiences you've had, the proudest moment? What's the one that brings back the biggest smile when you look at this whole story of Chef Pam?
I mean, there's a lot of milestones that are very meaningful to me and very important for me to grow as a chef. But, you know, at the end of the day, what really keep me going are the guests who are happy daily. And that's very small sometimes when you think about it. But for me, it's a few that really keep me going every day, because every day for me is so hectic, and sometimes it's like very mundane as well. So for me to talk to the guests and they love the food, sometimes they cried, and that makes me, I feel fulfilled in a sense. So yeah, I think it's the guests being happy.
I have cried at a Thai meal before, but that's because it was so spicy. I couldn't control myself.
So today I put chilies for you.
Make sure I have tears. I'd like you to leave me not with a culinary lesson, mm-hmm. But with a language lesson. I feel there's a real sense of destiny to you and where you are and how all of this has come together. Mm-hmm. And without being a particularly spiritual person myself, I suspect your ancestors are still here in one form or another.
I really believe that,
watching
yes.
over you and probably very, very proud and just slightly annoyed they're not still here so they could share all this wonderful food. So how in Thai would I thank or pay tribute to those ancestors who've set this path in motion for you to now pick up the baton?
A short one
or
a long one? ขอบคุณครับ
ขอบคุณครับ
Yes, it's mean thank you.
All right. Well, ขอบคุณครับ to the ancestors of Chef Pam. And thank you too, not just for the meal I'm about to tuck into, which I'm very excited about, but for creating this wonderful story, giving us so much incredible food, and I suspect inspiring far more people than you realize with this great journey. And I look forward to many more meals, but I'm coming here once, and I'm only coming a second time once you've come to South Africa first.
Okay.
Then I'm happy to come back. Chef Pam, thank you. She is the 2025 50 Best Restaurants World Female Chef of the Year. An extraordinary talent who's learnt in France and in America, but came home to Bangkok, and the Thailand food scene is very grateful for it.
You're listening to The Dan Nichols Show.